So, as Paramahansa said, I'm just now coming from the festival. Is this? Okay, it's good. Yeah. Festival in Boston. And before that was the festival in South Russia. Before that was the festival in Rajadam. Before that was the festival in Ukraine. Before that was the festival in Lithuania. Adjust my schedule in order to fit in at least a couple of days here in Ottawa, and that happened just 2 days ago. So I'm happy I was able to come. Fortunately, I wasn't able to come on the weekend as I usually do, but. At least I was able to come. I did not foresee my being able to come in December, and after that I have no idea when I'll be returning to the United States again. So, the festival in Boston, who was there? Wonderful festival. In fact, I didn't expect to get the kind of responses I got from devotees. I mean, I had nothing to do with the festival, except I arrived in time. Other than that, it was all arranged by the devotees in Boston and Hartford. And so many people came up to me. In fact, even one devotee from Canada, not from here, but a god brother, came up, said it was his best festival he ever attended in his life. And I suppose that, and so many people came up and thanked me, but I tried to redirect all the words of gratitude towards those who were really responsible for it. And I suppose because the subject matter was really thick, it was focused on Srila Prabhupada, that it was a source of inspiration for everyone who participated, and for those who were coming initially in contact with the event, they got a good dose of awareness of Srila Prabhupada's glory. And for all of us, that should be something that's very satisfying, because it's something that will keep our Krishna consciousness movement focused and together and united. And not only that, but it's a surefire method for achieving Krishna's pleasure, if we can somehow satisfy Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Srila Prabhupada did not look to be glorified and did not look to be recognized. And he was always so expert in taking that glorification and recognition and focusing himself also on his instructions of his own spiritual master, and always gave credit to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and those who came before him for any success that manifested to our eyes. But for us as followers of Srila Prabhupada, seeing Srila Prabhupada's expertise in being transparent and pure, we have to give credit to him for being such a wonderful instrument in the hands of his spiritual master and in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, that he was able to fully manifest their will in such a glorious way that changed people's lives. And of course, in a way, their lives changed was something quite significant, because it's one thing to change people's lives, but it's another thing to give people a solution, a positive solution to the actual problems of life, which can only be achieved by coming in contact with Krishna's pure devotee. And for all of us, therefore, we are forever grateful to Prabhupada for what he has done, not only to change the lives of everyone, but for each and every one of us individually. We should also look into our own hearts and give gratitude and recognition to Prabhupada for any positive transformation we see manifest in our own hearts. And not only for the gratitude for the positive manifestation which is manifest in our hearts, but also for the hope that each and every one of us should have that success is possible by his mercy and Krishna consciousness. I spoke about that, although I said it's my first time speaking, it's not actually my first time speaking. I did speak briefly on the boat in Boston Harbor, and I thought I wanted to speak a little bit more on that topic tonight, something that not only devotees come up to me to express appreciation for the festival, but many of them, more than I expected, came up to me to thank me for what I had said on the boat. So I thought, because of that, maybe it was something that resonated with people, and maybe the topic may also resonate with you. So I thought I would continue to talk about that, because I only spoke for maybe 5 minutes on the boat, because there were a lot of speakers. And we had to give time for everyone to speak. And a question that was asked by each and every one of us to answer was, maybe someone can help me, what was the significance of Srila Prabhupada's journey on the Jaladuta from Calcutta to America, and how did it impact your life? I guess it was something like that. Yes? Yeah, that was the question. And so many nice answers given by the various speakers of what Srila Prabhupada's journey across the Atlantic meant to them. And I took the opportunity to quote Srila Prabhupada himself in what he had given in the commentary to a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a commentary I oftentimes quote, and it's in the third canto, ninth chapter, 29th verse, in the section of Brahma's prayers for creative energy. And the reason why I feel so inspired by it, and and feel that it's so relevant for any aspiring devotee in Krishna consciousness, because it really gives us, this verse and commentary really gives us a sense of what it means to depend on Krishna. In fact, in South Russia, somebody asked that question. What does it mean to depend on Krishna? In the question and answer session I had with some devotees. And I also quoted this reference as well as other references from other places in Srimad Bhagavatam. But for some, it's actually, it can be a mystery how to depend on Krishna. Of course, for non-devotees, it's not only a mystery, but it's something that's not even approachable in any way. A non-devotee has no conception, what to speak of, depending on Krishna, but who is Krishna? But for those who are aspiring devotees, depending on Krishna is the foundation of everything that we do in Krishna consciousness, and also becomes the impetus and means for purification and means of purification. To the degree that we depend on Krishna, to that degree we can remember Him, and to the degree that we remember Him, to that degree our consciousness becomes purified, and to the degree that our consciousness becomes purified, then remembrance of Him becomes a much more natural state of existence, and then we can actually become an instrument in His hands, which is something which is the goal of every sincere practitioner of bhakti yoga, is how to become a servant of Krishna. If that's not the aspiration, then we've lost sight of the goal. And not only how to become a servant of Krishna, but how to become a useful servant of Krishna. Which is also quite relevant for anybody who sincerely wants to serve Krishna. In fact, that's another question I get, not only how do we depend on Krishna, but how do we become useful? Because everybody wants to feel like, feel a sense of self-worth, like, you know, there's a purpose for me to live in, there's a purpose to go on living. There must be more to life than just simply trying to maintain this body and survive. And for anybody who's come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and for those of us who came in contact with Prabhupada's teachings during Prabhupada's manifest presence, our question quite often to Srila Prabhupada is, how can we be useful to you, Prabhupada? Becoming useful to Srila Prabhupada means, first and foremost, to become useful means we have to become a fit instrument in His hands, and to become a fit instrument in His hands means we have to give up resistance. Because the more we resist, the more difficult it is to be an instrument in His hands. And imagine if a carpenter is using his tools and he's trying to turn them one way and the tool is trying to turn the other way. It's turning a screwdriver this way, and the screwdriver says, no, I don't want to go that way, I want to go the other way. That'd be very difficult for a carpenter to accomplish his task. So to be an instrument means to be malleable, submissive, and it means to be means to not offer any resistance whatsoever, so that the person who is actually engaging us as an instrument can fulfill his purpose and use us to fulfill it. And therefore, when speaking on the Speaking on the Jaladutta, some devotees call the boat that we went on the Jaladutta too, you know. But speaking on the boat in Boston Harbor, I was reflecting on Srila Prabhupada's meditation on the Jaladutta and his consciousness in preparation to fulfill the wishes of his own spiritual master, and how he had such a strong desire to be an instrument in his hands, as he even said to Krishna, if you brought me here, because I don't know why you brought me here, but you must have some purpose, so therefore please somehow make me dance, O Lord. And he was asking, you take me in like a puppet and pulls the strings. Please pull the strings and make me dance as you like. Prabhupada was conveying his own desire to be an instrument in Krishna's hands. And his whole prayer, composed on the Jaladutta in Boston Harbor, was just that I can't deliver them, but somehow if you want them to be delivered, then you have to give my words meaning so they can hear your message. Because who am I to be able to deliver them? But if your message, if you so desire their deliverance, then they will be delivered. So, but if you brought me here to be your instrument, then let my words be spoken by you, and may you be always present in my words so that they can hear you. And Prabhupada's mood was one of total humility, helplessness, and dependence. Which for me, really puts Prabhupada's journey on the Jaladutta from Calcutta to America into a perspective which is important to me, as we were asked to speak about. Please reflect on Prabhupada's journey and how is it impact you? What is the significance of his journey to you? So, to me, that's the significance of Prabhupada's journey from Calcutta to Boston and then on to New York, was that not only was he constantly meditating on Krishna in complete dependence and manifesting his will and in fervent prayer to be an instrument to manifest his will while he was journeying on the Jaladutta, but also from the moment he stepped foot on Western soil to the moment he left this world, he was always consistent in the same way of being always conscious of his subordinate position in relationship to the order of his spiritual master and his subordination to the will of the Lord. I oftentimes quote, although I can't remember the exact quote, I can maybe paraphrase it, but it's also one of my favorite quotes that Srila Prabhupada put into his journal. He had his Jaladutta diary and he had his New York diary. Jaladutta diary, he put in entries while he was crossing the Atlantic Ocean, but then when he landed in America and then began preaching in New York, he kept another diary. And one of his diary entries, which he had entered into his diary on the night that he had chanted and did a recording of the Hare Krishna mantra with a few of his new followers in New York. And he entered a little journal entry which said something, again I'm paraphrasing, he says that it is so very wonderful that we have seen how Haridas Thakur was empowered to make the insects, the birds, and beasts take up, and all living beings, and take up the chanting of the holy name of the Lord today, and today, in our recording, studio recording of chanting Hare Krishna, we have personally witnessed how Haridas Thakur's prediction has come true. He says these Western people previously did not know anything about this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But today, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have seen how they are chanting and dancing so enthusiastically. In other words, Prabhupada was saying that Haridas Thakur could even make the animals chant and dance. And Prabhupada didn't come out to say it. But he was basically, Prabhupada many times spoke about the Dvipada Pashu, the two-legged animals that were becoming purified as a result of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But Prabhupada wrote it in such a way that he specifically said, this is not my doing. That was the entry. This is all due to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another glorious example of Prabhupada's always attributing anything that happens in terms of something that's spiritual and anything that manifests Hare Krishna. I don't know what that means. Does it mean you're not coming in? Okay. I understand. Okay. My godbrother, Guru Varanagopal, came with me, but he had to go to the doctor, and he got trapped at the doctor's office. And
so he's
going
to go back to the
house. He didn't want to come dressed like that. You're taking him back. Okay. I understand fully. Okay. What was I saying? Somebody help me.
Two-legged
animals. Yeah, two-legged passion. No, I was saying that Prabhupada would always attribute any success, anything that manifested in terms of the spiritual manifestation of the spiritual energy and manifestation of Krishna's will, he would always give credit to either his spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya or Krishna. But giving credit is one thing, because it's very easy sometimes to say, to give lip service. Oh, yes, but it's another thing to be conscious of it. They're two completely, I mean, both of them have to be there. Right? Not only to say it when somebody, because sometimes we may say it in a sort of like a, kind of a, in a proud way. Oh, yes, to see how humble I am, I'm giving credit. But that's not what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada was not proud in any sense of the term. He was free from pride, mundane pride. And the reason what made him so attractive is that not only would he give credit in speaking it, but it's one thing to speak, but it's another thing to behave that way, not only by one's words, but by one's actions. In fact, it was Sanatana Goswami who said to Haridas Thakur that some people speak nicely, but don't behave properly. Some people may behave properly, but they don't preach. He said, but you, O Haridas Thakur, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, because both by your speaking and by your example, both are perfect in you, in your character, in your quality. And therefore, it's one thing to speak, but it's another thing to behave in a way consistent with one's words. And therefore, that's, of course, a quality that which also attracted us so much in Srila Prabhupada. It's not only would he give credit, but He was just conscious of his subordinate position. And therefore, when I was speaking in Boston Harbor, I was quoting this this verse in purport, which I oftentimes quote in this connection, which is Lord Brahma, his prayers for creative potency. And maybe I'll quote, I'll read the verse in purport, it's short, and we can speak a little bit about it, and then again bring it into connection with Srila Prabhupada. So the verse is, as we said, third canto, ninth chapter, 29th verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ma Veda Garbha Gas Tandrim Sarga Udhyamam Dva Avaha Tan Maya Paditam Hyagre Yan Mam Pratayate Bhavan. Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Purport. Any person authorized by either the Lord or by his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Even the first sentence requires some elaboration, although I'll read the whole thing. Let Prabhupada speak first. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability. He must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted. If he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord. And thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada really lays it out clearly. There's two ways to execute our activities, right? And I oftentimes, in this connection, I call it Krishna's statement from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he says, in all activities, it just depends upon me. I work under my protection. In such devotional service, you should be fully conscious of me. If you're conscious of me, you cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you're not conscious of me, and you act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So, Krishna is telling Arjuna, he's not saying, Arjuna, when you chant your japa, just depend on me. He's not saying, Arjuna, when you're in the battlefield, just depend on me. He's saying in all activities, everything we do, this really requires a very, very broad outlook of our life. And it really means that we have to put everything that we do in perspective in relationship to Krishna. And if we don't, how can we depend on him? How can you depend on Krishna if it has no connection with him? what he prayed for? We want to do something with our life. We want to be an instrument. We want to be fully engaged in his service. Not just, part-time practitioners who are, but fully engaged. And to be fully engaged means to know what is our duty. Krishna clearly tells Arjuna, one should know what is duty and what is not his duty by the rules and regulations given in the scriptures. Knowing such activities, one should act so that he's purified. And in the previous verse, he says that one who acts according to his whim and doesn't follow the instructions which are given by me, he can achieve neither happiness nor perfection nor the supreme destination. So, he lays it out for Arjuna also that it's Krishna consciousness is a way of life. And it doesn't mean that just because we're not living in the temple and we're not we're not going out and molding our life, 24 hours a day around, a significant activity in relationship to Krishna throughout every day of our lives, that our life is, the other things that we do in our life are not connected to Krishna. We have a responsibility, and Prabhupada even says that in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the commentary to that verse, Bhagavad Gita. Oh, don't give me that one. Give me a hand of bridge, please. Thank you. He says, says the Sanskrit word matpara is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. Quote, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. So, and everything that Krishna says, and everything you do in all activities, depend upon you. Can we leave that here, just in case I have to refer to it again? So it means in everything that we do, we have to see that how it's connected to Krishna. One of the principles of surrender, which is taught and cited in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that one should always accept everything favorable for the service of the Lord, and one should always reject, this is the path of Sharanagati, reject everything that's unfavorable. So we have to learn how to accept everything in our life which is favorable for Krishna's service, and something that is not favorable, then we have to learn to reject it and to always feel ourselves meek and humble, to always be dependent on the mercy of the Lord in all of our activities. So it's not just simply a psychological adjustment that enables us to, it's not just a mechanical adjustment that enables us to remember Krishna and depend upon Him, because Krishna consciousness is not a mechanical process. Krishna consciousness means just that it's a natural flow and remembrance of my relationship with Krishna as subordinate to Him and as His servant in everything that I do. And although it may be a struggle, it may be difficult, because Krishna wants me to do it, and I have to do it because it's my duty, I'll continue to do it and depend on Him for the result. And Krishna also says, Anashita kama palam karya kama korotiya. He says, the one who works as he is obligated, but is not attached to the fruits of his work, is in the renounced order of life. He is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Krishna makes it very clear that, and Prabhupada makes it also very clear in the commentary that action in Krishna consciousness is far better, far superior than he, as he explains in the commentary that verse, than to follow the process of Ashtanga Yoga, which is the eightfold yoga system, which is meant to control the mind and become detached. This is much more important than controlling the mind and becoming detached, is to work in Krishna consciousness. So, Lord Brahma, he's been entrusted with a duty to perform. Create a universe. And Lord Brahma, in his prayers for creative potency, realizing that this is not a small engagement. This is quite a substantial responsibility entrusted to me. How do I create a universe and not think I'm the doer? Which is essentially why he was praying. You know, he didn't want to get into this and get entangled, you know. You know, it's like sometimes we may be given like responsible work. Oh, I've been given this big responsible. We become more infatuated with the responsible work. And we start thinking, oh, just see how responsible I am, and I've been recognized, I've been given responsible work. That means I must have some qualification. Prabhupada clearly says right here, as soon as we think, I must have some qualification, he immediately says, in the purport, he said, of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability. And must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. So as soon as we think, oh, I've got some responsible work, I must be capable, immediately throws the whole thing off. We become falsely proud, and Prabhupada says that right here. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work, but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord, is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Nothing! It really, Prabhupada makes it clear. And Lord Brahma is thinking, I've been entrusted to create the universe. Imagine somebody, you know, came up, Prabhu, can you create a universe today? Well, I don't think that's possible. No, you can do it. I'm sure you can do it. Really? I'm sure you can do it. Really? No. We should not be falsely proud if we've been entrusted. He says, one who's been so entrusted is fortunate. Why is he fortunate? Because he's given an opportunity to always be conscious of his subordinate position of the Lord and always to look for the mercy of the Lord, because he realizes, there's no way I can do this without Krishna's. No way! Forget it! How will I ever do this? Not that I've been given some responsible work because I'm a... And, you know, and even sometimes we may be given something that really needs to be done, and it's very important, and we may think, that's too menial for me. I'm more qualified than to do something like that. You know, don't you recognize what I'm capable of doing? Why are you giving me this? Why? Because it needs to be done. We don't make the connection. I'm too qualified to do something that needs to be done. Let's get somebody else to do that. We forget we're a servant. Of course, then we start getting caught up in the whole dilemma of who determines what needs to be done. And, you know, there are a lot of variations to looking at that, obviously. If we try to become a servant of everyone, we'll become a servant of nobody. And we have to know how Krishna's will descends, and we have to be conscious of from where it descends, and we have to be conscious of how to apply those instructions in everything that we do so that we can remember Krishna, because that's our duty. That, yes, by doing what this person asked me to do, it's completely in line with my being a servant of Krishna, and even though externally it doesn't appear to be a very significant task or a very important task, it is important because Krishna's asked me to do it, therefore I'll do it. You know, just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says, for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, then even the most difficult task becomes very easy. But if he forgets Lord Chaitanya, even the most simple task becomes impossible to perform. Most difficult task becomes easy because we're conscious, yes, I'm depending. The Lord has asked me to do this. But even the most simple task can become very difficult if we become falsely proud and forget why we're doing it. I always reflect, when I think of this verse, I reflect on my early days in Krishna consciousness and how I remember that, and when I was given the position of a temple commander in the temple, and the newer devotees were always asked to be engaged to do some more menial service as a way of giving them the opportunity to realize themselves as servants, and because things needed to be done. And I remember how even the most simple task to somebody who forgot he was a servant became impossible. Like, you know, can you wash the floor? Sometimes it would take them 6 hours to wash the floor because they're sitting here thinking, why am I doing this? I could be doing something else, you know. Or, you know, maybe somebody else should be doing this. And you watch them just sitting in a complete dilemma for hours. You know, simple thing to wash the floor, but they can't do it. They forgot they're a servant and they can't do it. Such a simple thing to wash the floor, but they spend so much time, you know, just analyzing the engagement, whether it fits them or not, and whether or not they even want to be there washing the floor. Maybe there's something better to do. That the simplest task becomes like a, so difficult. So, the Prabhupada even warned us too that we should be very careful. He said, don't be over-intelligent. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to be over-intelligent, to analyze, or to, you know, given us. Prabhupada said this specifically in one lecture when he was very disturbed that the devotees in the BBT had changed some of his words in the books. And he said, don't be over-intelligent. Think that, you know, specifically in one particular instance that Prabhupada had done something, and Prabhupada said, you know, they tried to change something that Prabhupada clearly didn't want there and clearly didn't, you know, authorize them to do it. He said, don't be over-intelligent. He said, surpass your spiritual master. Don't think you know more than your spiritual master, he said in that lecture. So, yeah, so if even the most simple task can become very difficult if we forget that we're a servant. And if we remember, then, and be conscious of our subordinate position to the Lord, and remain conscious of our subordinate position to the Lord, then Prabhupada says that one who person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability, must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. And the Prabhupada says, fortunate is he who is so entrusted. If he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate, he's sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Success is guaranteed. The Prabhupada, of course, is saying that in relationship to this verse because the Supreme Lord is telling Brahma, don't be depressed or anxious about your duty of creation. It's already happened. It's already been granted before it will happen. Just remain conscious of your subordinate position, and I'll take care of the rest. And therefore, success, the successful criteria of work, is not necessarily the external outcome, but the successful execution of the work is that not only this, the outcome that we may see manifest before us, but that it manifests because of our conscious subordinate position to the Lord and to the order coming into cyclic succession. And therefore, it's very easy to depend on Krishna, or easier to depend on Krishna, when the connection and the order is there. Yes, you want it. I'm incapable, but you want it. I'm struggling, but you want it. So, therefore, let me continue to struggle. Because if you want it, it will have to manifest because you want it. Not because I want it, because you want it. And I want to please you, I want to serve you. So let me serve you, let me be your instrument. And then it's so much easier to remember Krishna. Then if there's no order, there's no connection, then immediately we start thinking, well, there's a lot of obstacles here, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me he doesn't want it. Well, I don't know, why should we make such a judgment of it like that? What, did Krishna ask me to do it? If he did, then why should I think that way? Why should I immediately look for, and Prabhupada even says right here, or not here, in the other one, in the 18th chapter, let me quote it accurately, so I don't misquote it. He said, one should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. So, we should be very careful to not be whimsical and think, well, I won't do it because it's difficult, and therefore I've decided that because it's difficult, Krishna's telling me he wants me to do something else. It's whimsical. You should not be so whimsical. So therefore, of course, we always have to balance it in relationship to what is the order. And then, of course, that brings us back to Srila Prabhupada's journey across the Atlantic and why it was so meaningful to me. Because Prabhupada so consistently, throughout his journey, upon his arrival in the harbor, Boston Harbor, and he upon composing this beautiful Makine Bhagavatam and expressing himself as an instrument in the hands of the Lord, and being very eager that the Lord's wishes for him be manifest. And he wanted to simply be a puppet in the hands of the Lord. And he even declared himself the most insignificant beggar. A beggar of mercy. And considered himself insignificant. Incapable. But the order could not be in any way disregarded. Because the order was there. Krishna was there, and because Krishna was there, his desire to execute that service was fixed in determination. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. Prabhupada would oftentimes, even in relationship to this verse, he would quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and explain that actually that for the meaning of this verse is understood that fortunate is person who has been given the order of the spiritual master, and one who is always fixed on that order and to be engaged in rendering that service. And this is Vyavasaya Bhakabuhi Buddhi. This is fixed in determination, never swaying from that order. And Prabhupada never swayed. He never swayed, and he was always conscious, and therefore the natural inspiration which any sincere servant of Prabhupada draws from Prabhupada's words and his example, both combined perfectly, embodied in the personality of Srila Prabhupada's, I want to do something to please him. It's because there's no difference between pleasing him and pleasing Krishna. And that mood of helpless dependence and conscious dependence on the will of the Lord, for me, affects me and influences me is not only, of course, as I said, on the journey across the Atlantic on the Jaladutta, but it's something that I reflect on practically every day of my life. Because without that example, it would be easy for me to also dismiss, well, maybe I should be doing something else, but Prabhupada showed me that in his mind there was no question of doing something else. And by his example, he demonstrated it right up until his final breath in Vrindavan. There was no question of him doing something else. There he was, lying, just days, hours before his departure, and it's a translation of the Bhagavatam. And with such clarity, not only translating Bhagavatam and giving Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, but so lucid, so clear, in that condition. And Prabhupada even told us, he said that, we should be like Arjuna, prepared to die in the battlefield. And Prabhupada, he never deviated from the order of his spiritual master, and which, of course, for us, translated into his mercy upon us. And so that keeps us going. And as I thought, I would just take this as an opportunity to simply to continue the theme which provoked me to speak on this topic. Although I wasn't prepared to, actually. I had told Garuda, our master of ceremonies, I had written a letter to him, and I told him, I said, please don't ask me to speak. There are too many other senior devotees, and I don't want to deprive them of the opportunity to speak at this event. And I told him that I've already spoken so many times in other places that I've come to hear. But then he changed me up, and he said, no, get on pointing to me, you have to speak. So I took it as Prabhupada telling me I should say something. And I spoke, although I wasn't planning to speak on that topic, but that's what immediately came to my mind when he told me I should speak. So I thought I would continue a little bit on that theme, and what you have tonight was a manifestation of what I started a few days ago in Boston Harbor at Srila Prabhupada's Revival Festival. And I hope it was relevant, and I hope that my efforts to share these few words about Prabhupada's glories, his example, his purity, and what his behavior means to me will be a source of, hopefully, of hope and an opportunity to all of you to to actually participate in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission in a useful way. I think that's it. I've spoken long enough. It's a weeknight. I don't want to keep everyone here. I'm supposed to speak tomorrow night, and it's Friday night. And I thought that would be a better night to have a little bit longer program and leave time if any of you have any questions about anything I've spoken about.
Today or tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. You tell me.
Can we ask questions now, or do you prefer to answer questions
now? No, I can answer questions now. I just don't know what everyone's schedule is.
They're open.
Yes.
Mahesh, if Srila Prabhupada had a direct instruction from the spiritual master and Brahma had a direct instruction, what if we don't have a direct instruction from our spiritual masters? So how do we direct our focus?
Prabhupada answered that. He said, servant acting on behalf of the Supreme Master has no affection for profit and laws. He simply discharges his duty faithfully in terms of the order of the Lord. Now one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna. But when Krishna is not present, how should one act? If one acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of the representative Krishna, then the result will be the same. The Sanskrit word matpara. So, therefore you may say, well, okay, we can act according to direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of the representative Krishna. So you may say, well, I don't have one, or I don't have a direction. But then, if we understand that life is useless without that, then we actually have something to pray for. Because without it, we're lost. We're just like, you know, dangling in space, you know, with holding onto a rope that's connected to nothing. Wasn't there some movie? I forget. It was some movie. It was supposed to be some people who were in a spaceship and they were cut off from the... Huh? I don't know. I didn't see the movie, but... like having... holding onto a rope but not connected to it. It's the same thing. You know? If we don't have the lifeline, you know, if I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And if bhakti means serving the higher order, and if I'm not conscious of what the higher order is, then bhakti, Krishna also understands the intention of the person who may not have the higher order, but he knows that without it, there's no connection, and therefore he reads this book and he chants and prays, Krishna, please manifest to me through the words of my spiritual master and tell me how I can serve you. Without that, Krishna accepts that as service. Accepts that as service. Because, and Prabhupada even explains in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, for those who have not even, never even met a spiritual master, he says that Krishna acts from within the heart and guides them. For one who's sincerely looking for to how to get out of the problems of life, then Krishna from within the heart, because of his sincerity, to looking for the solution, will guide him and bring him to his representative. And then, when he brings him to his representative, then not only does he get help from within, from the Lord, in the heart, but he gets help from without, because you've been praying to Krishna, please manifest to me through the mouth of your representative. And then when you see, Krishna, you've manifested yourself to me through the mouth. Therefore, here you are. Thank you for coming to me. But it has to be confirmed. It's not just because somebody said he's Krishna's representative to you. No. It's to be confirmed in the heart. And when it's confirmed in the heart, and then you have faith, because without faith there's no relationship. What does it mean to accept Krishna's representative? There's no faith. There's no connection, really. Without faith. So there has to be faith. So the basis of faith is hearing. Let me hear. And then when I hear something, yeah, that resonates. Let me hear more. Yeah, it still resonates. Let me hear more. And then faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shraddha is like the birth of a newborn baby girl. When it takes place in the heart, when that faith is awakened within the heart and the baby girl, then just as the parents are always very careful to nourish the baby girl and to protect the baby from dangerous elements such as heat and cold and hunger and thirst and dangerous creatures. So simultaneously protecting and then nourishing, then what happens? That faith grows, becomes stronger, just as the baby girl becomes stronger. And the stronger the baby girl becomes by being simultaneously nourished and protected from dangerous elements, then the baby girl develops the resistance to avoid, you know, being influenced by these dangers. So, when Shraddha is awakened within the heart, it has to be nourished. Well, if it's awakened, then Shraddha in what? Faith in what? Faith in bhakti. Right? We've been quoting a verse, a very wonderful verse, I found in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. The pure devotional service is rendered to the Supreme Lord is so transcendentally potent that simply by hearing about such service, simply about repeating what one has heard in response about such service, simply by meditating on pure devotional service, simply by faithfully and respectfully accepting pure devotional service, and simply by praising the devotional service rendered by others, then even a person who hates the demigods and all other living beings in the universe can immediately become purified. So faith means awakened in what? In bhakti. So once it's awakened, then one has to go on hearing. And the most important service that one can actually render when one has actually come in contact with somebody who's awakened that faith, most important service is to go on hearing. Most important service. Go on hearing. That service. Because the more one hears, the more one's heart becomes cleansed, the more one's heart becomes cleansed, the more one's heart can become removed from obstacles, which are the resisting elements of being able to serve purely. One thing to serve the order, but it's another thing to serve it, serve the order without being, as we said, an obstacle. So therefore, if we want to avoid becoming an obstacle, we have to go on hearing. But without that, As Krishna says, if you do not hear me and act in false evil, you will be lost. So the desire, Prabhupada says, bhakti is the cultivation of desire. So we have to cultivate the desire to have the order. And that's bhakti. Did that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Another question? Okay. Maybe we can have a short kirtan and then Mr. Prashad?
Yes, please.